You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? We sure have. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, streaming now.
Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Sleep Cove podcast can help you. Hi, I'm Christopher Fitton, the voice and clinical hypnotherapist behind Sleep Cove. Sleep Cove features sleep hypnosis, meditations, and bedtime stories, all designed to help those of you who struggle at night to achieve a restful and peaceful night's sleep. Search for Sleep Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and see why Sleep Cove helps millions of people sleep deeply all night long.
Welcome back.
Hi, everybody.
I feel like my brain is this hodgepodge right now. So we were gone last week to the podcast conference and got an overwhelming amount of information, which we can talk about in a few minutes. But I actually have a little bit of housekeeping to do first that came out of that conference. And I know that's unusual, but just so our listeners know, Apple changed its algorithm back in October, which we didn't find out about until just 3 weeks ago. And basically, they updated a protocol, which, I mean, this, I don't want to get too technical here, but it changed how auto download works. So for our listeners, if you weren't listening as much during the holidays, which I would think would be possible, Apple automatically stopped auto downloading, even though we were on your list, they stopped it. Well, I'm sorry, they paused it is what they called. And then when you started listening again, they turned it back on. But that means there could be a lot of episodes that you assumed were downloaded that weren't. So I just wanted to alert you. There might be several shows you missed. And so we just wanted to let you know that you actually have to go in and re-download them in order to have them back on your device. Apple said they did this to save space on iPhones, which I thought had pretty much infinite amounts of space.
They do. Available. It's kind of silly, but
but anyway, we can't tell Apple what to do. So we're just suggesting to our listeners that you might want to check that.
Yeah.
We also got a lot of stats and information all over the place about podcasting. And two of the things that really stood out for me, one is there was a lot of focus and suggestions for podcasters to create a community. Just wanted to say, like, I feel like we have a great community. Everyone here right now is focused on mindfulness and I think wanting to make themselves better, make the world better. And so I felt kind of blessed that I think we already have that. We could certainly do more. We will. But I just wanted to say thank you to all of our listeners, because I know when I step into this space, I immediately have a sense of calm and community.
I want to say thank you as well, because I know that your time is very valuable. We all have very little of it, right? So I really do appreciate all of you taking the time out of your busy days and just trying to better yourself and support us. You know, we really, really, really love your support and we're just happy to be with you. So thank you.
It's so funny. While we were at this conference, and I'm going to have several topics over the next few weeks that came out of this conference, I think, but one of the things that struck me while we were there and since, and I feel like I have not caught up from being gone a week, but I definitely had a continuous feeling of overwhelm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it made me think of all of our listeners. I know many of them have this just because life is so chaotic. I had to really fight resisting the structure of the conference and remind myself it was not a conference on mindfulness. It was a conference on podcasts, right?
Yeah.
So, just to kind of describe it, it took place at a very large hotel in downtown LA. And the sessions were 15 minutes long or 30 minutes long. And then you had to race to the next one. Okay. So first you're racing through the session is what it felt like, trying to capture the information, and everything went very quickly. And then you had, you know, very little time to race, you know, the length of a football field or go up a gigantic escalator to get to another level and then plop your rear end back in another seat and do it again. And that went on from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. every day.
It kind of felt like speed dating, didn't it?
Yes.
Like, and so go, go, go.
Yeah. And then, you know, I gave up, I think, by day two of trying to take notes because I couldn't even read them. I was, you know, trying to write so fast. So I just started taking snapshots of the PowerPoints, you know, thinking, oh, I'll remember. This will prompt my memory. Now I feel like I just have this giant mountain of pictures and notes that make no sense whatsoever.
Zero context.
Resisting how something is working that you can't control is, you know, not very mindful. And I kept catching myself, like, why are they doing it this way? Why don't they make the sessions longer? So I had to really practice my mindfulness skills to get through the conference. And now I'll have to block off a huge amount of time to make sense out of all the information. But I thought it was a good experience overall, a lot of good information. But the overwhelm thing really bothered me because I try really hard not to be in that state.
I have kind of a different angle for the whole thing because for those of you that don't know, I do all of the back end for the podcast and there's so much that I don't understand, to be honest. It's like, ask me what an RSS feed actually means and I probably couldn't tell you. I would have to look it up and do some homework on it. I really just stick the information online and just pray to the gods that goes to who it's supposed to. And so I was very overwhelmed too, because, you know, there's so much information on how to promote the podcast on social media, how to do it on YouTube, how to do, you know, all of this, these editing softwares where it's like, oh, it's just so much stuff that's trying to like narrow your focus down into actually what really matters. It was difficult. It was a long week. I mean, I really did walk away from it feeling a lot more inspired, I guess, and motivated to really keep giving you guys wonderful content. So that was the good part about it. But I definitely, my brain is like, stick it in the back for right now because it's so much. I really don't have the capacity to go through everything. I've been doing it this past week, but I have probably 20 pages of notes from the conference, full page, you know, end to end. And it's just, it's a lot.
When I think through our daily working habits, and I'm talking about all of us, not just me, I really constantly encourage people to monotask and to stay focused and, you know, you'll be more efficient and more effective and it's a mindful way to work. But in reality, you know, if you picture like many of our clients work in hospitals, it's a chaotic environment. It really takes very strong mindfulness skills to stay focused in the midst of constant chaos. And if you just notice that you're feeling overwhelmed, or data overload, that's the time maybe to take a pause, take a few deep breaths, do a meditation, something to help you get recentered. Because I noticed all week, it just got worse every day. You know what I mean? Because there wasn't a break.
Yeah.
And so, you know, make sure you do take that break and take care of yourself because your brain can only handle so much at a time.
I actually wrote a blog this week for our other company, and it was about how busyness can actually halt productivity. And that we get so wrapped up in like our day-to-day. And, you know, we all have goals and I'm sure many of us have our SMART goals up on a board or we have our vision board, all of these things where we have these great aspirations. But what happens is that we get so caught up with the kids, home life, work life, social life, like all of this stuff that it's like a fleeting moment that we see those goals, right? And we get kind of pulled away from them. And I think that if we start to understand that busyness does not equal success, that busyness does not equal productivity, then maybe if we can start to prioritize and get ourselves in a more balanced state, then when these big opportunities arise or when these goals really do present themselves as now's the moment to take advantage of it, we're in a more prepared state. We're not in that, oh, I don't have time right now. We're actually in that balanced state where it's like, you know, I could take that on right now. This can work for me because we're more balanced. We're having that more mindful experience of our everyday life where it's not all of these different balls being juggled at the same time.
A lot of times I can largely control the chaos, but I could not control anything last week. And I felt like I was exhausted by Friday evening. It was crazy.
Well, and not only the busyness of the convention, but it's like, we have another job to do.
Yeah.
So that had to be on hold for a full week. And now we get back and it's catching up with all of that, plus implementing all of the information we just learned.
You know, a lot of people tell me they need to work twice as hard before they take a vacation. And then they're so slammed when they get back that it feels, you know, overwhelming. And I'm usually right on top of all of my communications, right? Whatever form. And my email was so overwhelming. It took me like 3 days. I think it was Wednesday afternoon before I caught up with everything that had happened in the prior week. But I do want to talk about something in the news. I came across something yesterday that really struck me, and it's the solar eclipse. And of course, by the time this airs, the eclipse will have passed. But what struck me was an article I read describing what happens to us, the way we feel. So there's a lot of excitement right before an eclipse, and people are traveling to get to the path of totality in order to see it. Hotels are, oh my gosh, jacking up the prices.
Really?
Tremendously on. I read Motel 6, one of them normally charges $94 a night, and they're charging $964 a night. The Ritz-Carlton, I believe it's the Ritz-Carlton in Dallas, it's normally like $3,000-something to stay there 3 nights. And everybody's booked, they're all making people book 3 nights, right? So the day before the eclipse, and the day after. It's up to $7,000 or $9,000 for the 3 nights. So it's like, okay, there's a ton of obvious excitement to see the eclipse. And I mean, I think they're cool, but I was like, what is this about? That's what started me looking at this. And it turns out there's this huge psychological effect. And when I started reading about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's mindful. And I would have never associated, you know, viewing one as being a mindful act. So that got me thinking, because it's going to be visible to 32 million people. And I don't know how many are, you know, traveling to go see it. We're not going to see probably anything here in California. It's still millions, maybe tens of millions of people will all be doing the same thing at the same time. A clinical psychologist named Jeff Gardier wrote this article, or contributed to it, about how an eclipse brings us to the present moment. This is what caught my attention with mindfulness. So when an eclipse is happening, for those 3 or 4 minutes, we are completely, collectively focused on the very same thing in the very moment it's happening, which is really a rarity for us these days, right? 3 or 4 minutes focused on one thing with more than one person. It doesn't happen a lot. So that's the first piece. We're in the present moment, which, I mean, it's kind of sad that it's this hard to get into the present moment, but we're in the present moment. Then the second thing is that we feel connected with other people. I mean, really feel it like at a visceral level. How often are we connected to millions of people that we're aware of, right? We're connected all the time, but we're not aware of it, right? And then when we are in the state, right, viewing the eclipse, our brain actually releases stress hormones, which I found interesting, because I was thinking, well, it'd be kind of relaxing. But then sure enough, if you think about it, it's really kind of exciting, but it also triggers this very deep, maybe little fear. Losing the sun is kind of apocalyptic, or, you know what I mean? I could even picture our amygdalas, you know, or egos going, well, is it coming back? You know what I mean? So there's a little fear in there. So that's part of why the stress hormones are kicked in. It's like we're excited, fascinated, and we're still a little bit scared. And then it also triggers something called collective effervescence, which I have never heard that term before, but it's a sociological concept that describes a state of intense shared emotional activation. So who knew that all this stuff happens just when you're for 3 or 4 minutes while you're watching an eclipse? The other thing it does at a subconscious or conscious level is it really expands our thinking, that we go outside of ourselves. So instead of ruminating or fretting about all the little things in our own lives, we're getting this physical and emotional sensation that's really related to awe.
Oh, interesting.
Right. And that sense of awe, that big sort of universal energy that we're all a part of, but we don't seek out enough. That's the last piece. So basically, we've got presence, connection, awe, the intensity of excitement, and a little bit of fear all together while thinking about the bigger picture. That ticks every box to be mindful.
Basically saying we need a lot more eclipses.
Well, you know, that would, if we could control that, yes. But what we could do is we could seek out more awe in our lives. So I think that's what I'll do the guided meditation on next week, is how do we stop and remember to find the awe in life? Because it has a huge physiological, emotional, and mental effect on us when we do.
Yeah, we actually have an interview too, and I can't remember who we interviewed, all about awe.
Yes, we did.
Finding that awe in life and what that can do for you. And it's interesting, because I don't know why I thought of this when you were talking about everybody being in the present moment together at the same time.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I'm not a very like patriotic person. That's just who I am. I'm not. But every time I go to an event and it's the Star Spangled Banner, I tear up. I don't know why. I'm not patriotic at all, but it just kind of hits me. And I have a feeling it's probably because of that, because everybody is in that moment focused on that one thing. And yes. It just kind of gets that little lump in your throat where you can, you feel it, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anytime we're doing anything collectively, emotions are contagious. In your example, maybe you don't feel patriotic, but it's the same concept. You're surrounded by people who may, or it's just the idea of you're all doing something in sync. Just like when soldiers march all the time, the reason for that is to get them mentally synced. Yeah. You're doing the same thing when you're, you know, singing the Star Spangled Banner, when you're at a concert. I do this at concerts and it's crazy. You know, some popular song will come up and everybody's singing together, right? And it could be just some silly pop song and you get that same feeling, like you want to cry. And I don't think it's about the pop song or the Star Spangled Banner. It is about that feeling of connectedness and belonging and that cohesion as humans that we don't have enough anymore.
It's interesting that so infrequently are we focused on that which is so much bigger than us, right? Yeah, and so yeah. Something like the eclipse, something like stargazing, even people that are watching, you know, the SpaceX stuff, it's forgetting all of the noise and really focusing on that bigger thing outside of all of us that really is how we are all connected, right? And whether you know, are religious or not, I do believe that there is something much bigger that connects all of us. And I think that's a reminder. It kind of pulls us out of the yuck and just puts us in that moment of, like you said, awe.
There's been a lot written about over the last 100 years. There's just been a continuous decline in religious practices, people going to church or synagogue or, you know, whatever it is. But it's not, even in that case, I mean, for certain, you're thinking more about something outside of yourself when you're participating in that. But the bigger problem is that sense of community. I think it is important. There's a lot of evidence about how meditating as a group is actually more powerful than meditating alone. And so I think that's something maybe we could think about over the next few weeks in light of this divisiveness that is happening in this country that is so terrible. And what that means for maybe in a way to bring people together with differing outlooks on life. Can we focus together on the commonalities, the things that we can agree on for a change, but as a group, and see if we can get that sort of energy going where we feel it, where we get that little flutter of the heart or that little thing in the throat that makes us almost want to tear up. And so I'm going to think about that over at least the next week as I kind of observe what's going on with people around me and look for opportunities of maybe doing more things as a group. It's almost Hollywood Bowl season. Now it's like the fourth year, I think, in a row that instead of going with just one person or by myself, it's a group of friends. And we get all excited and start planning way ahead of time. And now I'm starting to feel like even in advance of the event, I can feel that connectedness, that tradition of getting together with the same group of people. But it made me think of this too. It's like, oh, we need a lot of community. We need little groups of community. We need big groups of community. And one of the things that did come up at the conference was Facebook groups, which, you know, I've sort of written off all social media for a long time. And I thought, well, maybe that is a place we could open up a shared space for our mindfulness community to be able to share. I belong to two mindfulness communities outside of us. One is the Calm Monkey, which is where I get my certification. And it's international, and we come together once a quarter. And even once a quarter, it is this same kind of space where we're not only going to have a mindful conversation, but there is no rhetoric. There is no arguing. There could be different perspectives, but it's just this peaceful, calming space. We do a group meditation together. Everyone's on the same page. I'm like, that's just lovely. And then the other one is the Mindful Global Society Institute. But once you go into those spaces, it's that feeling of this is a community and we all seem to understand the sort of quote rules. There is no debate, no ego, no arguing, no none of the stuff that we deal with all the time in regular life. So if you have any ideas about that, we would love to hear from you because I'd be happy to set it up and facilitate or just open it up to anyone who wants to participate. And if there are any other things you can think of that you would like to see to support you in your journey into and through mindfulness, we want to hear about it because we really do want this community to grow.
I don't know how many of you have ever done a group meditation, but it is, I won't say life-changing, but it really does just get you deep down into your soul, whether it is a silent meditation or if it's guided, whatever it is, just that collective energy. Because I think sometimes we need to be reminded that there's still great people out there. There really are. There's a lot of you guys out there. And we need a little reminder once in a while because we're so confronted with negativity. And I would also like to say that if we do, I think we will start that Facebook group and we'll probably give you the link to it on our next episode. But I would love to hear also what you guys want to hear about on the podcast. I think that if there's something that we're not touching on and you want to hear about it, tell us. We are open. We love to hear from everybody about all of their stuff they have going on. If they have some challenges with mindfulness, if they have, you know, maybe some events that are bothering them and we could talk it out. We're happy to do that. So yeah, I would love to hear from everyone.
That's such a good point. I actually felt really good yesterday. I was a little nervous about a workshop I had to do yesterday. And number one, because it's on one of the most difficult topics, which is implicit bias and cultural sensitivity. And it was a group of people, if you split the group in half, half did not know the other half, basically. So there were a lot of strangers in the room. And it was quite the array of demographics. So I had as young as 18-year-olds that are homeless up to adult professionals that provide services. And so I was like, oh, this is such a mix. And I don't know if they're going to respond to this. We didn't do a full-on meditation, but we did a couple of mindful breathing activities. And I was absolutely just heartened that all of them, I know some of these people have never heard of the stuff we teach, but they all participated. They all were nodding their heads that they felt calmer and better. We did it in between breathing exercises because I was saying a lot of very triggering things about race and discrimination and, you know, and all the stuff that we don't talk about anymore in the real world. They just really responded beautifully. And it reminded me again of that power of the group, because if I'd been doing it one-on-one, I bet I would not have gotten that same reaction from some of the folks. But because it was a group and they could feel it, they all participated. And I think they benefited from it. So thanks for pointing that out about the group, because I think it is powerful.
Oh, yeah. Positive energy is palpable. So the more you can be around, the better.
So I think we have a lot of content coming up, but maybe the first thing we'll focus on in the coming week is getting that Facebook group set up. And then we hope we hear from you.
Absolutely. And I also want to point out that we are trying to really grow our YouTube presence. And so if you currently only listen to us on the podcast, we would love for you to come over and see our faces on our YouTube channel. And we're trying to build up that subscriber base so we can get a little bit more support from our community. And we're excited about it. So hope to see you over there.
Well, I hope you have a lovely week. If you viewed the eclipse, I hope it was exciting and worth it. And I look forward to seeing you back here next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. This podcast is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other great shows. Visit our website, amindfulmoment.com, to access podcasts, scripts, and reading recommendations. A Mindful Moment is hosted by Teresa McKee and Melissa Sims. This podcast is produced by Work to Live Productions. Thank you for tuning in.